Amen. Appreciate that, Brother Thompson. Very good. People need the Lord. All right. It's good to have Brother Weedo back with us tonight and enjoyed this morning. He was rushed a little this morning, so I just want to give him the opportunity tonight to take his time. So y'all don't look at your watches, all right? But y'all, everybody, let's vote on it. Don't wash your watches, all right? Let's let him preach and not be rushed tonight. Brother Weedo, you come on. Speak.
Amen. God bless you. All right. I'll tell you like Elizabeth Taylor told her fifth husband, I'll not keep you long, okay? Amen. If you don't know who Elizabeth Taylor is, you see pastor after church. Amen. All right. If God gave you 10 apples and said, return to me 1/10 of these 10 apples to show you honor me. If you ate all the apples and left but one old core, would you give God that one old core and then ask Him for more? Shake your head. Don't give God the core. Don't give God the core. Show Him that you love Him. Don't give God the core. Don't give God the core. Don't give God the core. Show Him that you love Him. Don't give God the core. You read in the book of Malachi, and God said, you take a lamb that's crippled or blemished to your governor and see if your governor will take that offering. And hey, the governor don't want that. He wants your best. And if your governor won't take your second best, God sure doesn't want second best. Amen. And I want to give Him my best. All right, let me teach you a little poetry. You know, He brings in these big-time preachers, you know, from Arkansas. But anyway, y'all say this after me. I had a little pig. Fed him in the trough. He got so fat. Now, you got to go up on this, okay? Get ready. His tail popped off. Oh, we got to go up a little bit more, okay? His tail popped off. Okay, good. I got me a hammer. And I got me some nails. And I made that pig a wooden tail. Good, good. All right, are y'all impressed? Amen. That's big time poetry right there. And how many of y'all feel like a little pig right now after eating that dinner? Amen. Okay, God bless you. I see those hands. Amen. Amen. All right. And again, I want to encourage you to think about and pray about your offering, your faith promise offering. And again, it's a voluntary offering. You have the faith promise card, and I'm trusting you're praying and asking God, Lord, what would you have me to do? And really, to me, the faith promise offering, it's very, very simple. It's a free will offering, a voluntary offering that we give above our tithes. The tithe is the Lord, so it's an offering. And again, it's between you and God, and you have to just pray and get the mind of the Lord. Now, that can be a problem, and that's why we have to have preaching. Because, sometimes we have a little trouble discerning that still small voice of God. Uh-oh. And that's why we need preaching and teaching from the Word of God, okay, to help us get right and get back in tune, okay? There's 88 keys on the piano, and there's one tuning fork. And when that one tuning fork, you know that ding, ding, dong, dong, all that stuff, when they get all that together, it's in harmony, it's in tune with itself. It's in tune with that tuning fork. And when we're all right with the Lord, guess what? We're going to love the things He loves, and we're going to hate the things He hates. And His heart is the world that Jesus died for, and we're going to have a heart for that world. But you know what? When we're carnal, and when we're controlled by the flesh, and when we grieve the Spirit, and when we quench the Spirit of God, it gets to where it gets hard to hear that still small voice of God. And that's why we need missions conferences, and that's why we need revivals. Wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee? And the people of God, we ought to be driving around just grinning like a possum, you know, just making everybody wonder what we've been up to, you know. And just a song on our hearts and just having a good time in the Lord, okay. And the Bible says the joy of the Lord is our strength. And let the redeemed of the Lord say so. And hey, I'm glad I'm saved tonight, amen. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It's the power of God unto salvation. So I trust that you're praying about your faith promise commitment. If you don't have a card, one of the little booklets, be sure and get one on the way out tonight. Now, I want to encourage you to come back tomorrow night. And tonight we're going to get down to the nitty-gritty, okay? Are y'all okay? Everybody doing good? Now that you kind of know me, you're going to know me a little bit better tonight. But tonight we're going to deal with some things that I feel like really do have an effect on our missions offering, our missions giving. And we're going to deal with some things on the inside, okay? And some sins, things that maybe we would keep bottled up inside of us, okay? And we'll get right to the message. It doesn't take me long to preach this message, and so we'll just jump right in to the Word of God. Take your Bibles tonight and turn to Luke chapter number 2. Luke chapter number 2. And when I think of Luke chapter number 2, I read it this afternoon again, and certainly it's the account of the birth of Jesus Christ. I think of Luke chapter 2, I think about Christmas. But in Luke chapter number 2, we have the birth of Jesus Christ. We have the account of the birth of Jesus Christ. And you read on down through there, and it's an amazing text of Scripture. And we want to look down to verse number 36. I want to talk to you a little bit tonight about Anna, verse number 36 of Luke chapter number 2. The Bible says this in Luke 2:36, "And there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was of a great age and had lived with an husband 7 years from her virginity." That means she kept herself pure and had been married for 7 years, okay? And I appreciate her doing that the right way. Verse 37 says, "And she was a widow of about 84 years. Now, a score is 20 years, okay? So 84 would be 20, 40, 60, 80. She'd been a widow for 84 years. So she'd been a widow for a long time, okay? "And the Bible says there, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. And she coming in that instant gave thanks likewise unto the Lord and spake of Him to all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem." Let's bow our heads. Father, we love You now. I pray that You'd bless the reading of Thy precious and holy Word. I pray, Lord, that You would just arrest us now, Lord, and have Your will and way in our hearts and minds. I know we're full, and Lord, maybe the tendency would be to be a little groggy or whatever, but Lord, I pray Your Holy Spirit would have liberty to work now in these next few moments, and we'll thank You for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I want to preach to you for a few moments on this subject, and the title of my message is called "Tear Up the Script." Now, what that means is your script is kind of how you thought that your life would turn out, okay? And I want to just kind of say it like this. If I were to ask a little 5-year-old boy, you know, what you going to be when you grow up? A little boy might say, well, I'm going to be a policeman. Or I'm going to be a fireman. If you'd ask me, I might say, I'm going to be a state trooper, because my dad was a state trooper when I was a little boy. And, you know, he might say, I'm going to be a preacher. I'm going to be a missionary. You know, as little children, we kind of have in our minds what we're going to be when we grow up. And, you know, if I were to ask a little girl, if I said, honey, what are you going to be, a little 5-year-old girl, what are you going to be when you grow up? She might say, well, I'm going to be a teacher. I'm going to be a nurse, or, you know, I'm going to be a missionary, or whatever, you know. And we kind of have these ideas, again, in our minds as to how we think our life is going to play out, okay? And that would be your script. And the title of my message is "Tear Up the Script." And I just want to say this to you, that Anna was a good lady here in the Bible in Luke chapter number 2. And in the context of the Scripture, again, the birth of Jesus Christ and her husband had died and all of that. And it was the custom of the Jews to bring their little boy babies in. And you read in verse number 21, and it talks about that. And they would have the little boy baby circumcised. And in Luke chapter number 2, that's the birth of Jesus Christ. And guess who in the process of time they brought in to have circumcised? The Lord Jesus Christ, little baby Jesus. And guess who Anna got to see? She got to see the one that she'd been living for 84 years. And one of these days, hey, right now we see through a glass darkly, but one of these days, hey, it's going to be face to face with Christ my Savior. Face to face, what will it be when with rapture I behold Him? Jesus Christ who died for me. Man, what a blessing. And Anna got to see little baby Jesus. Isn't that awesome? And, you know, I just thank God for that. And then it says there that she looked for those that were looking for redemption in Jerusalem. Man, you know, when she got to see the Christ child, man, it had an effect on her life. And, you know, really that's what a missions conference is all about, us getting a fresh glimpse of Jesus and then having an effect on our lives, amen, and us wanting to see other people come to know the Lord as their Savior also. Now, I want to just say this about Anna. Anna was a good lady, and the Bible says there that she was a prophetess and a widow. She'd been a widow for 84 years. But Anna was totally committed to God, okay? And the Bible says that she was a widow, but after her husband died, look what it says here. She'd been a widow of about 84 years, 84 years. Now, look what the Bible says, which departed not from the temple. I mean, listen, she was totally committed to God. If there was anything going on down at the church house, Anna was there, okay? She was there. It says, but serve God with fastings and prayers night and day. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying Anna was a prayer warrior. She was totally committed to God. She was always ready to testify of the saving blood of Jesus Christ. Now, I appreciate her. She was ready to serve God. She attended to the Lord without distraction. Anna was a good lady. Now, I just want to say this to you. Something happened. Everybody listen to me now. Don't miss this. Something happened in Anna's life after only 7 years of marriage that I don't think Anna knew about. The Bible doesn't give us a record of it, but I don't think that Anna knew that her husband would die after only 7 years of marriage. I've been married for 30 years now, and you know, you just don't even think about that, Pastor. You know, well, you're probably only going to live 7 years. You know, we don't even think like that, you know, and I just think Anna had no idea that what was coming down, what was in her script. Now, let me just say this to you. I appreciate Anna. Because I don't think that she knew, and I've got a little piece of paper here that says Anna's script on it, and I don't think that Anna knew that her husband would die after only 7 years of marriage, so I think that she had to get her script out, and she had to tear it up. I don't think it was in her plans that her husband would die after only 7 years of marriage. Now, I have another piece of paper here, and it said God's script. Let me ask you this. Did God know that Anna's husband would die after only 7 years of marriage? Yes, He did. Did God allow her husband to die after only 7 years of marriage? Yes, He... God's omniscient. God is all-knowing, and He allowed it to happen. But I want to say this to you. I'm very proud of Anna, because instead of allowing this circumstance that happened in her life, that came along in her script, that wasn't in her script, instead of allowing it to make her bitter... It's almost like, Pastor, like she intensified. She took the love she had to her husband and gave it to God. I mean, it's an amazing story because, you know, she could have said, well, God, here I am trying to live for You, and God, I've been serving You all these years. Why my husband? Why not some, you know, hey, she didn't do that. She didn't build a case against God. She didn't misinterpret what God allowed to happen in her life. But, you know, it's just like she just accepted it as a part of God's plan for her life. And I'm just saying, wow, Anna, what a great lady you are, because you, instead of allowing that to make you bitter, you allowed it to make you better. And you served God night and day, fastings and prayers. You departed not from the temple. And you went around looking for those that were looking for redemption in Jerusalem. Wow, Anna, what a great lady you are, because you allowed that circumstance that wasn't in your script to make you better and not bitter. Very powerful illustration in the Word of God. So what does that have to do with missions conference? That has everything to do with missions conference. Because as I preach around in different missions conferences and revivals and things like that, there are a lot of God's people that something's happened in their life that was not in their script. And instead of getting their script out and tearing it up, there are a lot of people that are bitter against God, against somebody else. Are you listening to me? They built a case in your mind, in your heart, against somebody or some situation. And man, I'll tell you, that affects your missions giving. It affects your personality. Bitterness always destroys its container. And again, a lot of people, you know, they go inward with stuff and they keep things bottled up inside of it. And I want to say this. I want to talk about my script for just a minute. Boy, I had my script all planned out. I wanted to be a dairy farmer. Let me show you my milk and muscle here. Amen. If you want to, we'll go into photo session after the service there. But I was going to milk cows and raise my kids out in the country, okay? And my dad was pastoring over in South Arlington for many years. And we lived out in the country there. Of course, the whole city moved out that way. But we were there when I was a little boy growing up. My dad was pastoring. And my brother Bob bought me a baby calf, a little heifer calf. And her name was Jenny. And Jenny, we got her bred. And Jenny had a little heifer calf. And I started just raising cows and so forth. And then I started raising Holstein heifers. And I was raising them on a bottle. I was bottle feeding Holstein heifers. And again, my dad's a pastor. The church has 7 acres there. So anyway, back in the woods, we had an old bus that we used to run. And the bus, the motor was gone. And I asked my dad, I said, Dad, could I have that bus? And he said, what do you want it for? And I said, I want to raise baby calves in it. And he said, yeah, I'll be all right. It's just back in the woods. And so I took all the seats out of that old bus. And I sectioned it off with bales of hay. And I'd pick those little baby calves up. And I'd carry them up in there. And I'd let the windows down during the day. daytime for ventilation, and I'd scoop their poo-poo out and kept it, you know, keep it kind of sanitary as best I could and all of that. And I'd take these racks of bottles down there, and the little calves would be mooing, you know. I mean, man, they'd just be mooing up a storm and wanting that bottles and all that. I call that bus my cafeteria. And I'm telling you, I was consumed with all these Holstein heifers, and I would buy these heifers, and then two became four, and four became eight, and eight became 16, and I'd raise them up big and sell those off and then buy me a bunch more little ones. And I got up to where I had 92 Holstein heifers, and I was fixing to start milking cows. I was going to be a dairy farmer. Man, I was excited. I'd gone to school and learned how to artificially inseminate and how to palpate cows, how to pregnancy check cows. It was brutal. But man, I was just consumed with being a dairy farmer. And I was pumped about it, fired up. I mean, I had established a line of credit with Production and Credit Association. I was milking cows for a guy named Dan Parker in Arlington, Texas years ago, just getting some experience. And we had a lot of, we grew a lot of hay commercially, my wife's grandfather and I. And I was just going to be a dairy farmer. But one day God came to me and the Lord began to deal with my heart. And I had my script all planned out. I was driving a truck for Central Freight Lines in Fort Worth. And I drove for Central for 7 years, 7 months, and 5 days. And I was a pickup and delivery driver. And man, we were wheeling and dealing. And I had all this stuff. But you know what? God began to deal with my heart. And He said, J.D., why don't you go beyond what you want to do? And you know, I had my script all planned out on what I wanted to do with my life. And I was serving the Lord. And I was in church and all of that. But God said, J.D., why don't you go beyond what you want to do? And listen, I had to make a decision. Now, am I going to do what I want to do? Or am I going to do what God wants me to do? My script and God's script were two different things. And the next scene was, I got my script out, and I tore it up. And my wife and I, we sat together at the Johnson County Dairy Sale in Cleburne, Texas, and we sold those 92 Holstein heifers, and I said, Lord, I'll go where You want me to go, and I'll be what You want me to be. And you know what? I'm glad that I listened to God. I'm glad that I listened to that still small voice of God. I'm glad, hey, listen, that I'm not milking cows in Texas. I'm glad I'm chasing sinners in Arkansas. I'm glad I'm doing what God called me to do and not doing my own thing. Are you listening to me? I worked with my father for 5.5 years, and then we moved to Arkansas to start a church. And I got my burden to go to Arkansas, but going to a town that didn't have a good independent Baptist church. And I went to another church, and man, they were correcting the Bible, and just some things really bothered me. I thought, that's not right. And I began to see the little boys and girls on the streets, and I wondered, who's going to tell those boys and girls? And I got back to Texas. I'm in Arlington, Texas, making a visit, and underneath the coffee table, there was a little trash can that had a Razorback decal, had a hog on it. I was driving down the freeway, and I saw a truck. It said Arkansas Freight. You know, it's like I got back to Texas where I grew up at and planned to live here my whole life, but God began to deal with my heart and I couldn't get Arkansas off my heart. I mean, I couldn't get off my mind, off my heart. So I just said, you know, I went and talked to my dad and I just surrendered my life to go there and plant a church. We've been there almost 19 years now. And God's been good to us. I mean, He's been really good to us. We've got 23 acres of property. We're preaching on the radio for over 18 years. We have a Christian school, missions program, jail ministry, nursing home ministry, addictions program. I mean, a Bible institute. We got a lot of stuff going on in Arkansas. I'm excited. We're really impacting our community after all these years. Are y'all listening to me? Hey, I'm just saying that on our first anniversary, my mom and dad came down and they were real excited and kind of helped us and brought a bunch of men down from my dad's church and helped us renovate an old storefront building. And it was a fixer-upper and we fixed it up. We stayed there 17 months. On our first anniversary, my mom and dad came in. We had a big day. Man, the Lord blessed me. We had a lot of people come. And we set a goal of 100. We had 157 on our first anniversary. It was awesome, brother. People just came out in the storefront building. We had dinner on the grounds. And God just blessed and blessed and blessed. He's still blessing, by the way. But you know what? After we started in 1992 and in 1993, we had our first anniversary. My mom and dad came in, and that was in February. And in March, my dad called me one day. My dad said, son, he said, your mom's having some problems. She's having some chest pains, and we're going to take her in and have her checked out. And they went took my mom to the doctor. And my mom went to the doctor in Arlington, and they found out that she had some blockage. And they set up a day to do the procedure on my mom, on her heart. They were going to do the balloon procedure, the angioplasty, and this was years ago. It was before they had stents. Some of y'all remember those days. And I got up real early in Arkansas, and I drove to Arlington there off of Matlock Road, and I went to the hospital to be with my mom, and somebody had canceled, and I'd left early enough to be there in time to visit her and everything, but somebody canceled, and they moved her up, and I didn't get to see her before she went into surgery. And while she was in surgery, it seemed like it was taking longer, and what was happening, the balloon, they would balloon it open, and as it would come out, it kept closing. That's why they have stents to hold those things open. And it kept closing, and so finally she got under stress or whatever, and she began went into cardiac arrest. She began to have a heart attack while they were doing the balloon procedure on her. And everything changed. And then they rushed her from the second floor down to the first floor and into open heart surgery, bypass surgery. And she made it through the surgery. That was a long day, and that was on a Monday, and then Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. By Friday, my mom was doing a lot better, and I talked to the doctor, and he said, "Sir, your mom's doing a lot better." I said, "Well, I'm planning on going back to Arkansas and preaching." And he said, "Well, your mom will be in a regular room by Monday." So everything was looking good and all of that, and so I asked my mom on Friday. I said, "Mom, I'm going to be leaving early in the morning. Do you want me to come by?" And she said, "I'd like that." And on Saturday morning, I left my mother-in-law's over in Rendon and went back through Arlington. I stopped at the hospital to see my mama. She was awake. I gave her a hug and gave her some sugar. Gave her some sugar and told her that I loved her and got in my car and drove to Arkansas. I preached Sunday morning. I preached Sunday night. When I got in Sunday night, my dad, the phone was ringing. And my dad said, "Son," he said, "your mom's had a massive heart attack and she's not going to live." And my mom went home to be with the Lord as a pastor's wife at the age of 56. And one week she was here and the next week she was gone to be with Jesus. And you know, I love my mom. My mom changed my diapers. I was 9 pounds and 1 ounce when I was born. I was 3 weeks late. I always tell people I stayed in there too long. That's why I'm redheaded and my hair rusted. But you know what? It wasn't in my script that my mama would die at the age of 56. My mom used to cook me a steak when I played football. She cooked me a steak and green beans. And man, she took care of me. I mean, there's 4 of us kids, but I just always felt like she loved me the best. I mean, I know she loved Brother Bob and Debbie and Viola, but I just, you know how that is? You have a mama like that? She just kind of had the unique ability to make everybody feel like you were the one she loved the most? Yeah. At Christmas time, my mom would make everybody's favorite dish along with all the traditional stuff they eat around the holidays, but everybody's favorite dish was always there. My mom was such a blessing. When I was in Bible college, she typed all of my notebooks. She was a very good typist. And all of my notebooks, my mom, I look at them every once in a while, and it's got her fingerprints all over the pages. Let me ask you this. Did God know that my mama would go home to be with Him at the age of... Oh, yeah, He knew it. Did God allow it? Yes, He did. My Father's way may twist and turn, my heart may throb and ache, but in my soul I'm glad I know He maketh no mistakes. I could have said, "Well, God, good night, what are you thinking? Why my mom? Why not some old heifer out in the world? Why not some old wicked woman? Why a good godly pastor's wife?" I mean, I could have built a case against God. But you know what? God knew what He was doing. He didn't make a mistake. I had to get my script out, though. And I had to tear it up because it wasn't in my script that my mama would go home to be with the Lord at the age of 56. But you know what? I did a funeral on Friday morning. I did a funeral the last Monday. I've done about 7 funerals in the last 3 weeks. I do a lot of funerals. You know what I do? Pastor, when I needed God the most, I'm tender-hearted and I love my mom, and I was going to have a part in her service, and I was kind of going to pieces. I was in the bathroom and trying to regain my composure, and guess who kind of came in there with me? The Holy Spirit of God came in there and just kind of let me know that, hey, it's going to be all right, your mom's with me. And God kind of gave me a peace and a calm on the inside to know that, hey, it's all right. And you know what? The Bible says, "Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God." And you know what? When I preached a funeral last Monday, a 93-year-old lady, and she had 4 sons. And all 4 of them big old boys took care of their mother. I mean, these are big men. And she was 93, and all of them are getting some years on them too. But you know what? I was proud of those guys for taking care of their mama. But you know what I did? I took some of the comfort, Brother Casillas, that God comforted my heart with, and I used it to comfort the hearts of those big old boys and their family and their children and grandchildren. Hey, God didn't make no mistake. I've used my mother's death over and over and over again to help other people. Right after my mom died, in April of 1993, in May, my wife, man, she grew up in Texas riding horses. She's a country girl. She knows how to cut up chickens and fry them. How many chicken-eating Baptists do we have here? We initiated Levi? What was it? Yeah, little Levi, man. He had a chicken leg tonight. He's initiated now. Amen. He's teething. Amen. Hey, I was thinking about all this, and my wife said, honey, something's wrong with my back. And my wife had always been healthy, but my wife's back, that low L5S, one of those lower discs, blew out in my wife's back. And she got so bad that I had to put my arms under her arms and kind of help her get to the bathroom. And the next scene was we were at the Baptist Medical Center in Little Rock, Arkansas, and Wilbur Giles, a back doctor, was doing surgery on my wife. And I've been with hundreds of people to surgeries and prayed with them over the years, but you know, I kind of got a little lump in my throat when my wife, they were wheeling her down the hall because I knew they were fixing the cut on her. It wasn't in my script that my wife would have an inherited back disease and have chronic back pain, and I know the church has prayed for her over the years, and I appreciate your prayers on behalf of my wife. Tough assignment, have a bad back. Some of y'all know what I'm talking about, that chronic back pain and all of that. And now she's getting pain down her arms and her elbow from her neck, from the disc in her neck. I love my wife. The only thing that makes this sermon longer is illustration. I want to say this to you tonight. I kind of use a missionary story in closing. They say, and in closing, the check is in the mail is the biggest lie, and when the preacher says, and in closing, is the second biggest lie. Several years ago, we were having a missions conference, and we have ours starts on a Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. We have our banquet on Saturday night. And on Saturday night, we always have the missionary wives give testimonies. We just kind of want to hear a little bit from them. And anyway, we had a missionary's wife. I had noticed throughout the week that she had scar tissue on her arm where she had been burned. I would have never asked her, how did you get burned? You know, you just wouldn't do that. But I noticed that she had scar tissue where she had been burned. And anyway, on Saturday night, as the missionary wives gave testimony, a young missionary's wife got up and she said that when she was a little girl, that her mother took boiling water and poured it on her and burned her body. And her mother broke her nose and her mother broke her collarbone and her mother went to prison for child abuse. And this little girl had some other abuse going on in her family, and she went to live with her grandmother in Oklahoma City. One day, some bus workers came by and knocked on her door. She was four years old, and she got on the church bus and started riding to Sunday school. And when she was a fifth grade girl, about 10 years old, she thought to herself, boy, it'd be so awesome one day to get on an airplane and go to another part of the world and tell people about Jesus. God was already preparing her heart to be a missionary. She accepted Christ as her Savior, and her bus captain got burdened for her, and he paid her way to the Christian school. And so she started going to the Christian school, and then that bus captain went to the mission field, and the next bus captain picked up the tab and paid for a little girl named Jolene to be able to go to the Christian school. And Jolene graduated from high school and went to Oklahoma Baptist College there at Windsor Hills Baptist Church in Oklahoma City. And it was there that she met her husband, David Sloan. They're missionaries to the Ukraine today. And Jolene told the story how that she'd gotten saved and kind of just told her story, this is your life. And the rest of the story, as Paul Harvey would say, is Jolene Sloan got burdened about her mother She hadn't seen her in all those years. She found out that her mother had gotten out of prison and that her mom lived in Arizona. And on her way out to California, they were going out there to the West Coast to raise some support. They stopped and met her mother. They had about a 45-minute meeting. And very awkward. It wouldn't be like us with our mom, maybe, you know, and all that. It was just kind of getting reacquainted a little bit. And they went on to California, and then they came back through, and they spent about 6 hours together and took her to supper, Jolene's mom to supper. And Jolene had the privilege of leading her mother to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, if I ever heard a story of somebody who was totally innocent and somebody who was totally guilty, but, you know, somehow or another, Jolene had to get her script out and just forgive her mother and say, wow. But you know what? You know who she reminds me of? She reminds me of Jesus. You know what Jesus said when He was hanging on the cross? He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And I think that when Jolene Sloan found it in her heart, Pastor, because of the grace of God in her heart, she found it in her heart to forgive her mother. And when she forgave her mother, she got released. Are you listening to me? That doesn't mean that you know, when somebody does something wrong to us, the Bible says, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. And you know what? But we as God's children, we got a lot of God's children that are sitting in churches that have bitterness and stuff bottled up inside of us, and we don't even realize how it's affecting our personality. And I'm saying tonight that we need to get our script out. And we need to tear it up. And I'm just saying this, that when we forgive, we get release. Does that make sense? And there's other illustrations we could give about bitterness, but I'm finished tonight. I just, you know, I thank God that Anna got it right. She served God night and day, fastings and prayers, departed not from the temple. Wow, thank you, Anna, for getting it right. And I haven't always got everything right. There's been times in my life when I misinterpreted what God allowed to happen. And I didn't give it back to Him. And I built a case against Him or against somebody else. And I've had to say, hey, I'm sorry. I've had to get my script out and tear it up. Because there's been a lot of things that have happened in my life that were not in my script, but God allowed them to happen. Let's bow our heads tonight. Thank you for listening. Now I know we're kind of hemmed in tonight. And you know that boy, the young man that got saved this morning, he was kind of hemmed in too. He kind of had to put forth a little bit of effort and crawl over 3 or 4 people to get out to be able to come to the altar. I wonder how many tonight would say, preacher, I've had some stuff in my heart. Something happened and I don't know, I'm not sure I've gotten it right. And I need to get my script out and I need to tear it up. I know God allowed it to happen, but I just really have struggled with it. I've had a hard time with it. And I've had some stuff in my heart towards someone or some situation. I wonder how many would be honest enough. And I'm talking to Christians tonight. I wonder how many would be honest enough to say, preacher, would you pray for me? I've had some stuff in my heart. And I know it's not right, but it's been there and it's bothered me. And I know it's affected me in a way that's not right. Would you pray for me? I've had some bitterness in my heart. Would you slip your hand up? God bless you and you and you. Art, there's hands all over. What about over here on this side? God bless you and you. Are there others? Just slip your hand up. Wow. God bless you, ma'am. God bless you. God bless you. Let's stand to our feet tonight.